Good evening. I'm Rick Cottom. Welcome to Your Maryland. The state we live in, the free state we like to call it, was not always free. At its founding, the Calvert family had something altogether different in mind. Maryland would be more like a feudal society. A few men with means would create large manors or plantations. These would be worked by people of a lesser sort, called indentured servants. The servants would grow tobacco, the gentlemen would sell it to England and become rich, and all would be right with the world. Well, few things are ever that simple. Just a few years after Maryland planted its first tobacco, Parliament turned on King Charles and the men who supported him. Gentlemen like the Calverts found themselves in a dangerous position. Not only were they supporters of the king, but Roman Catholics as well, and Parliament didn't much like either. When King and Parliament raised armies to fight one another, the news shook the few hundred settlers in Maryland. Protestants here began to voice their resentment of Catholics in general, and wealthy, land-owning Catholic gentlemen in particular. One of the latter was Giles Brent, a shifty friend of the Calverts, who had become rich by maneuvering within the court system. When Governor Leonard Calvert decided to return to England to find a wife, he made Giles Brent acting governor. That was a mistake. Maryland was a tinderbox, needing only a spark to explode. Enter one Richard Engle, captain of an armed tobacco ship, the Reformation. Engle was in his 20s, from the rough part of London, and a hothead. He was also a strong supporter of Parliament against the king. One day in 1642, while he was anchored off Accomack, he had gotten into a shouting match aboard the Reformation with some important Virginia royalists. While he was entertaining the commander of Northampton County and his brother, the Virginians called parliamentarians roundheads. Engle shot back that anyone who supported the king was a rattlehead and stormed out of the cabin. The Virginians followed Engle on deck and called loudly for his arrest. Engle drew his cutlass, thrust it under the commander's chin, and said it was his ship and he'd say anything he pleased. Shortly thereafter, he sailed off. The next fall, when Engle returned to the Chesapeake and sailed up to St. Mary's, who should be waiting for him but the wily acting governor, Giles Brent? Brent had heard about the trouble in Virginia. He also owed Engle 8,000 pounds of tobacco that he didn't want to pay. So he did the obvious thing. He laid plans to have Engle arrested and tried for treason. Brent let Engle anchor in St. Inigo's Creek. On January 18, 1644, captain and crew went ashore to do some trading, and Brent invited Engle to dinner at his house. Before the captain could walk into that trap, the governor's men intercepted him. Brent then sent men to seize the Reformation. At a meeting of the council that night, Thomas Cornwallis, the richest man in Maryland, offered to be bound body for body for Engle, and the captain was released into his custody. Cornwallis and Engle returned to the Reformation. By that time, most of Engle's crew had returned as well. Brent tried to make a deal with one of the crew to turn against Engle and take command of the ship, but the sailor was loyal to his fiery captain. When the governor's guards fell asleep, the crew rushed them, and a sharp fight rolled across the deck. In moments, Engle was back in control of his ship. Thomas Cornwallis was a hostage, and Maryland was about to embark on the bloodiest episode of its young history. It was called the Plundering Time. To learn more about Engle, Brent, Cornwallis, and the Calverts, pick up a copy of The Plundering Time, Maryland and the English Civil War,